shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendrick.
And we are seeing American public opinion, as is understandable.
The fact is that there is not a single environmental problem, as David Attenborough says, which wouldn't be easier to solve with
First thing is we shouldn't overreact to the Homeland Security bulletins. DHS is in a bit of a tough place.
All of this hyperbole that the Patriot Act has been a blatantly unconstitutional enactment.
It sounds racist to me.
You hate your job.
World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Cutting through all the horse manure. When the stars come out, the bull crap goes away. Something like that. We're working on that one. I like that, though, you know.
When the stars come out, the bull crap doesn't come out.
We'll get it, man. Anyway, welcome back to the program. 877-876-PHIL is the number. And you can also go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and you can watch a video stream of the show. You can listen to an audio stream of the show. You can, while you're engaging in your own kind of stream, you can look at those. And when you do that, don't forget to check out our archives. We've got all kinds of archives of many generations of the Phil Henry Show available to you there at philhenryshow.com or also at twitter.com/realphilhenry, because there's a bunch of fake Phil Henrys over there, so it's real Phil Henry. And we're on Facebook, facebook.com/Phil Henry. Okay, a couple of things that we're going to be talking about in the show tonight. The feds are getting involved in banning a flavored cigarette. Have you even heard of these things? I mean, I know cigarette smoking's bad, and they want to keep the kids away from smoking cigarettes, and that's a good thing. I get it. But I will tell you that when they had a real problem with Joe Camel, and they didn't like cartoon characters plugging tobacco, and they didn't like the idea of appealing to youthful people with these caricatures, the number one selling cigarette among kids was Marlboro. So I don't know whether it ever really helped Camel with Joe the Camel and all that jazz. Now the flavored cigarette thing, kids want to be adults. They don't want to be kids anymore. I think the flavored cigarette is more something pointed toward fat asses like me and others who not only want to smoke but enjoy a snack at the same time, you know. Anyway, the feds are going to ban that. I don't care. Ban every tobacco product. It would save my ass so much money and time and trouble having to actually withdraw from this despicable habit. And I wouldn't feel bad at all. If you cats made it illegal tomorrow, I bet you at least 50% of everybody that smokes cigarettes, I'll go higher than that, 75% of everyone that smokes cigarettes would be happy if you made tobacco illegal for smoking tomorrow. Tomorrow. The only guys that are fighting you on this are the tobacco companies. Smokers aren't. There's no smokers lobby. We're not going to Washington with signs saying, we need the freedom of the thing. Smokers are people that go where they're told to go. They go off into the alley. They go off into the smoking lounge. They go off to those pits that they reserve for us. Those places that stink to high heaven. Of course they do. Naturally, we're smokers, so we are disgusting by definition. Like LAX, if you go to Los Angeles International Airport and you find the right little cubby hole, because they have these smoking areas at Los Angeles International, but you have to know which terminal and you have to know which way to go, and you hang a left and go right, and suddenly you're in this little garden area, and it's basically just a bunch of cement seats that you sit on. Anyway, I don't want to get too far into that, man, because that's for another segment. So let's talk about Obama addressing the UN. We'll get into the cigarette smoking thing. That's all the same. You know, it's global warming, right?
Yeah, probably why a cigarette smokes, but again, cause it. There's no way, man. A cigarette smoke do not cause global warming.
I don't think cigarette smokes, bud. A cigarette smoke is going to cause global warming.
Are you kidding me? Look at all of the people that do it.
That doesn't make any difference, man. Global warming caused by something else. Let me do the story here, okay? Let me just do the story. Anyway, the United Nations President Obama this morning issued an appeal to world leaders to help avert an irreversible catastrophe in the Earth's climate, accepting a portion of blame for global warming on behalf of the United States, because that's what we got to do, you know. Yes, that's right. We led the way. We should have known. We were industrialized. We made a lot of stuff. We made a lot of products. We kicked ass. We went out. And look at this. We're to blame. But also urged the world's biggest polluters to change their ways, because America, as you know, is no longer the world's biggest polluter. Guess who is? You got it. China and India. And guess who isn't all that hot on curbing the gas house emissions And guess who isn't all that hot on pulling their weight with this so-called global warming, global warming agenda, that is to deal with it and to lessen its effects. Guess who isn't all on board with joining hands with the world leaders to say, we're going to save the planet. Guess who? You got it. China and India. Those guys over there, man, you could say a million times to those Chinese over and over again.
Things are bad.
And they just ask you whether you want to buy some cloisonné beads. Those cats are into making money, man. They're into improving the life situation of their people. They're into expanding their middle class. They're into getting the money out there into society. They're into becoming the first truly, the very first truly wealthy, wealth-based, self-sufficient, globally competitive, first world, leading industrial as well as scientific entity in the history of the communist concept or philosophy. Now, they've had to jack Karl Marx's words around a little bit. They've had to kind of take Lenin and, you know, shove him in there with John Lennon, but they have, for the most part, maintained this idea, this concept of centrally controlled economy and the local Soviet, that is, the local communist committee, running the show, no matter what it is, business, industry, science. So anyway, the president was there at the United Nations. He was speaking on climate change. The president's first address to the world body, Obama touted steps the United States has taken to slow global warming and attempted to reassure the world that Americans are committed to the cause. The president also urged world leaders to work toward an international agreement on global warming as they draw closer to a UN summit in Copenhagen by the end of the year. The remarks came at a time of rising concern about progress in those talks. Aides to Obama say things are not proceeding as quickly as they would like, and they're leaving open the possibility the talks will extend into next year. Now, why do you suppose things aren't going the way they'd like? I got a clue for you. It ain't got nothing to do with America. It ain't got nothing to do with the United States. It didn't have anything to do with the Kyoto protocols either. It has always been and will now proceed to be a problem with the emerging industrial powers of the world, that is China, India, to some extent Russia. They don't give one sweet flip, baby, about whether or not there's global warming. And I would have to ask this question right now. The Chinese have made it very clear that their priority is improving their economy and the life condition of their people. The Indians as well. The Russians are interested only in becoming a world-class power in manufacturing. When you bring up global warming to these guys, there's only one thing that goes through their mind. You playing some kind of a game with me? Is that what you're doing? No, the world, the planet. See, we just found, look at them. They just found out that the planet, right when we're starting to kick a little bit of ass, oh, well, we're going to have to shut it down. Tell you what, America, you do it. We're dealing with three countries. Brazil is another, that are beginning to make some serious, serious headway in creating a gross exporting and profitable economy. And these guys don't want to hear from the traditional powers of the world, like the United States, Great Britain, and all of the rest of these touchy-feely countries about global warming and let's hold hands and make sure that the planet is saved. They think we're full of crap. They think that we're running a game on them, and they ain't going to play. Now, here's a question for you. They got scientists. Last time I checked, they got scientists. The Chinese got some damn good scientists. Indians have got some damn good scientists. We're talking about nuclear powers here. Russia, by God, Russia's scientific community is world-renowned. Now, you know for a fact that if they've got scientists over there, those guys have taken a look at the so-called global warming models. And the fact is, were there a serious threat to the literal existence of this planet? I'd have to tell you, I would find it hard to believe that they keep their mouths shut and wouldn't say anything. Unless, of course, because we're dealing in the case of China with a totalitarian regime, and that basically means one guy's opinion. In China, one guy's opinion amounts to about the opinion of maybe 75 million people in the United States. And if the one guy says, I don't want to hear about global warming, the first guy that opens his yap about global warming, I'm going to throw his ass in the dungeon that we kept the last emperor in. Do you understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, now get out. It ain't so cut and dried with India, though. And it ain't so cut and dried with Russia. Because both of those countries do tolerate, I would say, a particularly high level of dissent, considering in Russia's case where they've been. And, of course, India is renowned for its newspapers and its freedom of the press, its freedom of speech. India is renowned as a very, very active country when it comes to political dissent and political dialogue. Now, where are the scientists in India going to the government and saying, you know, we're spitting a whole lot of garbage up into the atmosphere here. We are becoming, like China, a major polluter, and the planet is going to die if we keep on doing this. I mean, they can tell them to drop dead and get out because they got other fish to fry, in India's case, maybe literally. And they got, you know, they got things they want to do, man. But the fact is, we'd hear about it, wouldn't we? Now, where are the major scientists, where are the major scientific voices from Russia and India, two enormous economies and two countries that are attempting to make some serious headway against the United States and Europe? Where are the scientists from those countries saying, slow down, we are polluting, we are in danger of going shoulder to shoulder with China in terms of how much we're polluting? And there is a world opinion about this that is going to stand against us. And even the United States is taking steps to cut down on its carbon emissions. We got to do something about it. And our governments are not doing anything about it. I haven't heard a one. Have you? Let me tell you what I think is going on. I think it's the reverse. It ain't that we're running a game on them. They're running a game on us. They're going to let us sit here and play with ourselves and hold hands about global warming all we want, man, because they got other things, much bigger business that they're attending to than getting down at the global warming conference and holding hands with Obama. It ain't going to happen. Those guys have got some business to do. So they're going to let us suck on it, as well as the other industrial countries of Europe. We're going to be the guys that will be paying the piper on this thing. Those guys, in their mind, they ain't going to be paying nothing. They ain't going to be a part of anything having to do with slowing their economies down. All they need to do is keep the drumbeat up about how it's really America, and it's really, and there's no question in my mind that Obama opens up with a comment about America and saying, you know, we really led the way, because that's probably the guilt trip that those cats are laying on us. Well, you know, you guys, yeah, okay. Telling us to quit. I mean, look at, I got all these starving people here, man. I gotta do something for my people. You're telling me to quit industrializing the country. Look at what you did. All right, okay, I understand. Yeah, yeah. You got to do all that stuff, and we didn't get to do any of that because the British were running our ass for half of that time. And the Ruskies, they had the commies in control, but you guys in America, you got to do all that stuff. And you know why? Because you were smarter than us and had a better form of government. All right, we're sorry. Yeah, you better be. All right, here is President Obama as he tells the UN summit that climate change is a serious issue facing us.
The threat from climate change is serious, it is urgent, and it is growing. Our generation's response to this challenge will be judged by history. For if we fail to meet it boldly, swiftly, and together, we risk consigning future generations to an irreversible catastrophe.
And he got done talking to the Chinese. He said,
I was a sucker.
Now, here we have Obama talking about climate change as a global problem, and we have to act soon.
The security and stability of each nation and all peoples, our prosperity, our health, and our safety are in jeopardy. And the time we have to reverse this tide is running out. And yet,
bummer, man.
We can reverse it. John F. Kennedy once observed that our problems are man-made, therefore they may be solved by man.
As John Kennedy observed,
things are bad.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We come back, we'll get into the Afghan problem. See, we got to stop with all of those carbon emissions. We got to make sure that those bastards that killed 3,000 Americans are hunted down until there's not a one left. We got to figure out what we're going to do with the banks. We got to figure out what we're going to do with the health care. We got a lot of problems we got to solve, and we got to do it soon. If not yesterday. We'll be right back. We'll tell you how it can be done, if it can be done. We'll tell you how. We do it every night. World famous Phil Henry Show. Never too old, yeah.
Bloomberg. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You are going to hell!
I was a sucker.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
That's right. Truth is our bitch. I don't care if it's liberal or conservative or if somebody says, well, you know, what did you just say there? Well, I'm saying what I believe to be the truth. Well, no, you didn't. You said something that was conservative. Oh, well, what'd you say? I said something that I thought was the truth. Well, I was liberal. Hey, you know what, Charlie? I don't care. Instead of left, right, I believe in up, down, you know? I believe in up and down, up and down.
That's dirty.
In your mind, it's dirty, yeah.
Yeah, not everything up and down dirty. Yeah, 10 toes up and 10 toes down.
Will you shut up?
Man, that dirty.
That ain't funny at all, okay? Up and down, man. That's what I, left and right. You can take that and you can go up and down with it. How about that? 877-876-PHIL. So we're going to talk a little bit about a cigarette ban here, and then we have an LDS leader, some cat who is a member of the First Quorum of the 70. Man, I'll tell you, there ain't nothing like religion for the most ornate kinds of names and cliques and inner circles. The First Quorum of the 70, and this dude is on about homosexuality. Something wrong with it, I guess. Never would know, would you? All right, in any event, federal officials said today that they hope a new ban against cigarettes flavored to taste like sweet foods will cut down on the number of children and young adults who pick up the smoking habit. Flavored cigarettes are a gateway for many children and young adults to become smokers, said Margaret Hamburg, Commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration. Isn't that funny, Margaret Hamburg, Commissioner of the Food and Drug Administration?
I don't get it.
Hamburg. Like hamburger?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Great. The ban, which took effect on, maybe if her name was Hamburger, the ban, which took effect on Tuesday, makes it illegal to manufacture, ship, or sell cigarettes flavored to taste like cloves, candy, or fruit. It's part of a sweeping new tobacco law that was passed by Congress and signed by President Obama in June. Why don't you just ban cigarettes, man? I know why you can't, because of the tobacco lobby. The tobacco lobby, it's an amazing thing. The tobacco lobby, which is a corporate lobby. It's a business lobby. It is. It represents business. It doesn't represent consumers. It doesn't represent smokers. It represents the guys that have me and others hooked on their product. Now, I take responsibility for my habits. I take responsibility for Phil Hendry. I'm just pointing out that there is no, as we said earlier, there's no smokers lobby. There's no group of people who are demanding, you know, that they get rid of smoker-only areas. There's no group of smokers that are demanding, you know, that they return certain bars and restaurants and pubs to smoking establishments. By and large, smokers don't want to smoke. And by and large, smokers would be happy as pigs in slop if you made it illegal today. And by and large, if you were proposing legislation, and it was in the news, that cigarettes, that tobacco would be illegal within, you know, 6 months, and this was being talked about in the Congress of the United States, you would get no opposition from smokers. You'd get opposition from the business that is providing the cigarettes. Now, think about that for just a second, okay? If nobody drove cars, or if people drove cars but hated driving cars and they wanted to stop driving cars and they wanted to ride bicycles, but maybe there weren't enough bicycles, okay, but they were driving these cars and they hated these cars and they hated the company that made the cars, and Congress said, we're going to give $50 billion, we're going to give $80 billion to the automakers, and the automakers said, yes, yes, give us the money, give us the money, and the people that were driving the cars that they couldn't stand driving said to you, please don't do that. Who do you think would win? Well, the company would win. Now, that works in a lot of different areas and for a lot of different reasons. The minute people start jumping up and down about bailing out businesses, just remember that as long as we have companies like the tobacco companies in business, as long as we have corporations like that that serve no real purpose other than to inflict damage on the health of people, you know, there's going to be a discussion in this country about the role of government in business.
It's just going to keep on happening, and people better get used to it. As long as there is a company that is legally sanctioned to sell a product that does nothing but injure people, you're going to have government sticking its nose in. Don't even worry about it, and tell me it's wrong. Go ahead. Give me a rationale for why it's wrong. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more, including the homosexuals and the LDS. I think they can work it out. I think they can move in together. What do you think?
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
You know, it's been a long time since we've talked about gay people on this show. And I know that this won't matter at all to people who've got their minds made up. You know, I was talking with people today. I said, you know, most of the people that are opposed to health care reform, they're like creationists. There's no science. There's nothing that's going to convince them. They are what they are. They believe what they believe. And that's just the way it's going to be. And then someone retorted, well, we're not talking about science. We're talking about math. I said, you cats aren't even using math. People that are opposed to health care reform are just like creationists. They're not scientists. They have an ideology, a religion that they adhere to. And the religion is called national health care bad. That's what it's called. And the god is the god of capitalism. And their priests, their high priests, are the jackballs at Fox or, you know, on any given day, some other appropriate media outlet, okay? Well, such is also the case with gay people. So it won't make any difference if I say the following thing, which is that the American Psychological Association on Wednesday, and when was this? This was back in August, on Wednesday of last month, August the 5th, declared that mental health professionals should not tell gay clients they can become straight through therapy or other treatments. In a resolution adopted by the APA's governing council and an accompanying report, the association issued its most comprehensive repudiation of reparative therapy, a concept espoused by a small but persistent group of therapists, often allied with religious conservatives, who maintain gays can change. No solid evidence exists that such change is likely, says the resolution, adopted by a 125-4 vote. The APA said some research suggests that efforts to produce change could be harmful, including depression and suicidal tendencies. Not that that would bother anybody that is opposed to the whole idea of gay people. I mean, either you can change back to a heterosexual or you could blow your brains out. I mean, either way, it's probably good for society, you know? I mean, I wouldn't want to see that happen, but instead of seeking such change, the APA urged therapists to consider multiple options that could range from celibacy to switching churches. If you don't like being gay, man, you know, or if you're having problems, maybe you ought to switch churches. For helping clients live spiritually rewarding lives in instances where their sexual orientation and their religious faith conflict. The APA had criticized reparative therapy in the past, but a six-member task force added weight to this position by examining 83 studies on sexual orientation change conducted since 1960. Its report was endorsed by the APA's governing council in Toronto, where the 150,000-member association's annual meeting is being held this weekend. Now, understand something, folks. This isn't like global warming, you know, where all of a sudden a bunch of scientists got together and said, why, you can't change back. We've just decided. That's what makes a lot of people suspicious, obviously, when all of a sudden there's a consensus, all of a sudden, out of the blue, here comes a consensus. Now, I know there's some brain surgeons that would say, well, you know, Hendry, if you were looking at the scientific journals and the scientific literature, you would realize this has been on the table for a long time. Yeah, I'll bet it's been on the table for a long time. Like what? Maybe 20 years. Maybe. I've been following the whole climate change thing, man. It used to be the ozone layer. Remember that? The hole was too big? Well, guess what? The hole ain't too big anymore. The hole's too small, I guess. But I ain't talking about that right now. I'm talking about something different. This is the idea that gay people can change back or change to or change over to being straight. This isn't something people just suddenly decided This is something that has been talked about and has been a accepted fact among reputable psychologists for decades. Decades. In the 1950s, they removed homosexuality from a list of mental illnesses treated or treatable by psychology or psychoanalysis or psychiatry. So for decades, they've known that this is a orientation that is not a mental illness. There are happy people who engage in it. There are productive and law-abiding people that engage in it. And none of the, you know, none of the earmarks, none of the red flags of mental illness comes up with this orientation, this sexual orientation. But that doesn't stop some people. And certainly since the 1980s, and I will have to say this, and some people are going to be pissed off that I say it, but the religious fervor in our political life began on or about the time that President Reagan was elected. I am not necessarily saying that the president was single-handedly responsible for that, but I do know that he hung out with guys like Jerry Falwell. He had regular meetings with these guys in the White House. I think some of these guys actually got into the Pentagon and inspected the war room. I mean, they were real close buddies, and the conversation, our public conversation, turned to, well, what do our religious leaders think about this? And that almost carries the weight of a Supreme Court ruling. By God, if they say this is this, then that's the way it's got to be. And we've had to deal with that now for well over 20 years. And it has haunted us ever since. And it has bedeviled us ever since. And it's dragged our asses down ever since. Now, lately in Salt Lake City, the Mormons are talking about this. People who are attracted to members of their own sex can change, said a Latter-day Saint general authority on Saturday, so they shouldn't let Satan persuade them that they can't. So the American Psychological Association is Satan. The elder in question here, his name is Bruce C. Heff, and he's a member of the First Quorum of the 70. Congratulations, Bruce.
Yeah, you're the First Quorum of the 70.
I wonder if he's number 70 or number 69. In any event, he spoke at the 19th Annual Conference of Evergreen International, a nonprofit group that helps Mormons overcome homosexual behavior. This is Evergreen International, and it also helps people diminish same-sex attraction. The event was held at the LDS Church's Joseph Smith Memorial Building in Salt Lake City. You know, the Mormons may have one cure for homosexuality. That's called having lots and lots of wives. I know they don't do it anymore, but if you, seriously, a gay guy, I don't know, I probably have to get an answer to this from any of my gay listeners. You're a gay man, and I said to you, what if you could marry like 10 chicks, like really hot chicks, or whatever you consider to be a really attractive woman, and you had all 10 of them at your disposal, do you suppose maybe then, I doubt seriously if they'd say yes, but...
Yeah, they might go by.
Yeah, what about that?
Maybe they go by. Anyway... Or maybe they just go bye-bye. Whenever the devil, whom Hayden referred to as the adversary, tries to convince you that you are hopelessly, quote, that way, end quote, so that acting out your feelings is inevitable, he is lying, Hoffman said. He is the father of lies. Last month, the American Psychological Association, blah, 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 we already told you. The longstanding consensus of the behavioral and social sciences, the APA noted, is that homosexuality is a normal and positive variation of human sexual orientation. So anyway, this guy Haffin there at the Mormons, he spent a large portion of his talk held during a Sunday-like service criticizing the gay rights movement and denying a biological link to sexual orientation. Same-sex attraction is not in your DNA, he said, and he ought to know he's not a scientist. He attacked the APA's decision to remove homosexuality from its list of mental disorders, deemed it politically motivated. That was in the 1950s, you dumbass. How is that politically motivated at a time when the country was probably with you? In the early 1970s, the public and most lawyers, doctors, and therapists saw homosexuality not as a normal adult behavior, but as a psychological disorder. We've witnessed primarily an aggressive political movement more than we've witnessed substantive change in the medical or legal evidence. Well, it's been a progressive legal movement, sir, for one reason. Guys like you have been standing in the way of people having a life, you know, and it generally works that way. Here's how it works. Let me explain. if you got your foot on the neck of somebody, most of the movement is going to be by the person who has a foot on his neck. He's going to be squirming and grabbing and reaching and trying to get out while you're just standing there with your foot on his neck. And then you come back and you say, well, most of the conflict here that is being generated is by this guy whose neck I'm standing on. Well, maybe if you put your foot off of his neck. How dare you? Look at how this guy is struggling and squirming under the weight of my foot on his neck. And you're telling me that I'm the bad guy. Because you're standing on this guy's neck. He can't get up and enjoy life the same way that you can enjoy life. Well, but look at his behavior. Do you want me to let somebody up like that? Or squirming and grabbing and screeching and yelling? Yeah, man, it might stop him from doing that. Can we take that chance? If I let him up, he may continue to squirm and yell and scream and slap and do all kinds of stuff. No. Better to keep our foot on his neck and he can lay there and squirm all he want because that's what those people do. I got news for you. That's what anybody would do if someone is standing on their neck, including you there, member of the First Quorum of the 70, Bruce, whatever the hell. And I'm not knocking this guy. I'm sure he's a nice guy. He's just a cat. He's a religious guy, okay? He's a cleric. That's the way those guys talk. Anyway, check out the APA. If you don't believe me, you can look and see that the American Psychological Association issued that last month. It's not going to make any difference to people that are hell-bent against gay people. And, you know, it's funny. Again, I return to something that I talked about on the video cast on the Uncensored pre-show. People say, you're straight, Phil. What do you care about these fags, you know? I care about anybody in my life because of my orientation, where I come from, because I didn't have an easy life. I care about anybody that I see being pushed around, being told that they don't belong here, they belong over there, being told that they can't go here, they can only go there, being told that all this other stuff that everybody gets to have, you don't get to have that, you go over there. I care about everybody that suffers from one degree or another, from one extent or another, under that tacit or that socially approved kind of bigotry is what I call it, that goes unchecked because, well, the majority seems to be okay with it, or at least the majority isn't going to say anything about it, while a vocal minority continues to rail about it. I don't care, man. I mean, I'm a straight guy, but if somebody wants to call me gay or say that I'm a gay lover or call me a fag, it doesn't bother me at all. In fact, under the right circumstances and in the right room, I might even say, yeah, I am. You want to go for it? Just to see what the reaction would be. Doesn't bug me at all, because I know what I am. Problem is, the people that don't like gay people are probably closeted queers themselves. And I'm not saying that to be insulting. I believe that that's a likelihood, man. I think that Dan White, Harvey Milk believed it too. Dan White was a closeted gay. Dan White, the guy that murdered Harvey Milk, in the closet. I think anybody that is vocally and strenuously anti-gay has got some issues to work out. Especially men. Any guy who calls himself straight and is quote-unquote disgusted by gay people, I think you need to talk to your head shrinker, man. I think that there's something that you ain't exactly getting worked out in your life. Nothing wrong with it. It's okay. Everything's beautiful. You know, do what you got to do. But your problem ain't those gay guys, man. The problem is the gay guy inside of you. Who knows? Maybe the whole quorum of the 70, maybe they're all queer. I don't know.
Boy, you didn't get in trouble on account of you said that.
I'm just questioning. I don't know. 877.
You're going to hell.
876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Coming back with some other stuff, man. Oh, we got the that swim club in Pennsylvania got fined for not letting those black kids swim in a pool. Now, see, that I don't understand. I don't think black people should swim in the same pool with whites. Why, all of that black gets off of them and gets under the... Anyway. And also, some other news having to do with the NEA. Remember yesterday they had that little conference? Well, they've admitted that they suck. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
You are going to hell!
This is not funny.
We'll be right back.
877-876-PHIL. I'm writing an email as I speak right now to my friend Barry in North Carolina. She's come down with the swine flu. And I got Jace telling me, Jason Rance, our producer, who had swine flu, he was prescribed Tamiflu, and that's what you got to get, baby. It knocked it out of him in, what would you say, Jace? Like within 24 hours, you started to feel better? So I got it right there. That's the drug you should get. Tamiflu for, sounds like I'm doing a commercial, doesn't it?
Yeah. It says here 2 days and then a Tamiflu kicks in.
What do you mean it says here?
On an instant message.
Oh, yeah. Tamiflu. I just was reading, there's been quite a bit of news on the swine flu. And, you know, we're getting into the cold and flu season, and there's a lot of people interested in any kind of vaccine or inoculation for it. I haven't gotten it. This is a little bit of a cold that I've had over the last week, but the swine flu, man, that's a bitch. She had a fever. Rance was telling me that he was out of his mind. He was wandering the streets. He was looking for a producing job with Mike Gallagher. He didn't know where he was. I'm just kidding around, Rance. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let's go over to caller Carter in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Carter, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I've just been listening for the past 10 minutes. You're speaking about homosexuality and the views on it, and I believe it is a very touching subject right now in the world. And my standpoint on it is that...
You gay? Are you gay?
Am I gay?
Yes, sir.
No, sir, I'm not.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what your viewpoint was. Okay.
I am disagreeing with the way your approach to it, actually. There are gay people in the... I mean, the homosexuality is a... Well, I believe that... Well, I'm trying to think how to put this. It is a behavior.
Take your time, man.
I disagree with. I do think, but however, I think you should, when you judge the person or when people judge people, you know, you talk about taking the foot, putting it on the neck and holding people down and telling them this is the way. I believe in speaking the truth with love, and I do believe that we are made as human beings to reproduce, and... That is
all right. Well, I'm just giving you what the American Psychological Association, which has decade after decade after decade of experience dealing with gay people. You know, they used to be castrated. They used to be given electroshock. They used to be institutionalized. They were given psychiatric treatment. And the American Psychiatric Association, American Psychological Association, disagrees with you. And theirs is a world of science. And what that means is they approach everything in that empirical way. They first try to determine... in order to prove, for instance, that being gay is a sexual orientation, they try to disprove that. They go about the task of disproving that so that they are not prejudiced. You understand? And I'm just telling you what they said. And
I don't know
what else to tell you, man.
In my opinion, my experience,
virulently anti-gay males, in my experience, are suspect. And I believe may have an issue with that themselves. They might be closeted themselves.
So, I don't agree with that.
I'm not an expert. I grant I'm not an expert. It's just an observation.
My observation is that you have your right to your observations, and the American Psychology Association has the right to their, you know, proving or disproving whatever they may disprove. However, I truly believe the truth in that we are here as human beings, and
does science have any place in your world? Where does science fit in your world? Where does the idea of scientific analysis, empirical data, etc., where does that fit in your view of the world?
It doesn't.
It does. So there is no science for you?
No such thing as science. I'm not really a big fan of science.
Okay. What do you think about medicine?
Medicine? I believe there's a purpose for it.
Science goes into developing many of the drugs we use. For instance, Tamiflu, which we were just talking about for swine flu. You know, there was some science that went into developing that.
Yes, there was.
All right, okay, well, thanks for your call, because you can't be serious, Jack. James in San Pedro, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on?
Hey, Phil, I wanted to talk to you about this pollution. You know, China
pollution.
Is grossly polluted.
I know.
What happened? You know, we had the Superfund cleanups in the 70s where we had grossly polluted our rivers, streams, and lakes. And what happened when Nixon went over there and made friends with the Chinese, all of our American manufacturers took all of that manufacturing straight to China and started manufacturing the same way over there the way they couldn't over here, which is why I think Obama apologized, because the Chinese are starting to realize how polluted they are. You know, they have.
Oh, they are. Where are the Chinese realizing? Tell me where you're getting an indication that the Chinese are realizing they're so polluted that they need to, you know, get with the program and join the rest of the world.
They shut down manufacturing for a month.
The Chinese.
Because it was so polluted.
Yeah. They made the statement publicly. They're not interested in a global warming. They want to improve the economic condition of their people. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more on this gay Chinese polluting industrial queers.
Phil Hendry.
I like that.
Yeah.